Well, we are a few weeks into 2018, and so far it's been good. I suppose so far it's been good. Yeah, it's been a good year so far. A few weeks in. One of the cool things with the podcast is you guys can now listen to us on Spotify. So if that's something that you do, if you are a regular Spotify listener, all you got to do is search us out there and you can subscribe and listen and get all the episodes. Also, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, YouTube, of course, iTunes. If you listen to us on iTunes, which is like 98% of the people that listen to podcasts, do me a favor and go not just subscribe, but rate and review the show. That's something that always helps podcasts. So any podcast that you listen to, take the extra time, take the few seconds that it takes and leave a review. Because if you know anything about podcasting, that helps the podcast grow. That helps new people find that podcast. So it's the same for our podcast. And when in doubt, go to energyislovepodcast.com. And all the links are there. Every place that we are, whether it's on social media, Instagram, Facebook, as well as all the places that you can find the podcast, right there, one spot, super convenient, really easy. Go now. On today's episode of, I think it's episode 97, 98, something like that, we're fast approaching episode 100, and I'm excited. But today it's Stephanie and myself. I guess, I don't know which way you're supposed to say it, but Steph and I sit down on the podcast and it's something that we are going to start doing more regularly because honestly, I love the woman and I think she's hilarious and she's fun to talk to and we always have wonderful conversations, just the two of us. So it's something that we're going to start doing more of where it's just us talking, chatting, whatever happens to comes up and we discuss things. And this show, the one that you're listening to now, that you're about to get into, we cover a couple of different things. We kind of catch up a little bit as far as what the last 2017 was like. Steph's had an incredible transformative year, so it's been exciting to be a part of, and she shares a little bit about that as well. And then for some reason, we get into this conversation about our relationship, specifically in regards to kind of the way that we communicate at times. So it's kind of fun, and hopefully you guys enjoy it. Hopefully you benefit from it, just like every episode of the podcast. But if you do, we would love to hear from you. We want to hear from the listeners, not only what they thought of the episode, but maybe if you've got some questions or some ideas that you want to throw out down the road when we sit down and record together, we'll be happy to answer any of those questions. And it's kind of relationship 101, even though we don't necessarily think we're relationship coaches by any means. But it's our story. It's our life. It's the way that we have learned to communicate with one another better. And it's helped our relationship kind of flourish and grow. So hopefully you guys, like I said, will pull something from it, whether you go home and speak with your significant other and have some other idea of just a different way of approaching communication, which is massively important. I think communication is huge. You have to have trust in communication, and I'm going to ramble for a while if I just sit here and keep rambling, but it's fun. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. And like I said, if you benefit from it, or if you've got some ideas or some a topic you'd like us to discuss, feel free to shoot us an email. If you just go to our website, energyislovepodcast.com, click on the contact link up top, and then you can send us an email. Let us know what you think, and let us know if any of the information that we actually go over and talk about and any of the ideas we discuss help in any way, because that would be super cool. But here you go. It's another wonderful episode of the Energy is Love podcast with my wonderful wife and myself sitting down in our living room, drinking our delicious coffee, and chatting for a while. Enjoy.
You're listening to the Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is Love.
The Energy is the Love podcast.
The Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is Love.
The Energy is Love podcast.
The podcast for the universe.
The Energy is Love podcast.
Fine.
Now I can swallow.
What I was trying to say was finally, finally, sweetheart. We just spent, what, like the last 20 minutes probably?
No, not that bad.
It was 20 minutes trying to sit here in our living room and getting everything perfect. And at the end of the day, we have our refrigerator that is running in the background, but that's okay. Nobody can hear it except us, I'm sure. If you can hear it, we don't want to hear that you can hear it. So if you can hear it, keep it to yourself, because we're not interested in whether or not you can hear our fridge. Hello, sweetheart.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
How about you? Doing wonderful.
Yes.
I have a wonderful, amazing question I'm going to ask you right off the bat, and it's going to make you smile.
Okay.
So do you remember yesterday when we were driving home? Uh-huh. We were driving home from Montana, and I asked you this wonderful question, and then I said, I'm going to ask you that question again when we're on the podcast.
Yes.
Do you remember that moment?
Yes.
So we were driving home, and we're listening to one of the greatest things that we have found recently, which is like a, it's not a radio station, like on regular old radio, but on a Google Play. And so it's just a mix of music, and it's the 90s alternative mix. And it's all the songs that we absolutely love, all the songs that we listened to when we were teenagers growing up and all that kind of stuff. So it was really good. But my question to you at the time, and I want you to answer it again because you did such a wonderful job eloquently answering it, was I can remember back when I was a teenager and music was very important to me, and it played like a big part in my life. And I felt like, you know, especially listening to those songs from that same time period, you have like marked occasions where you can remember whether it's a specific song or a specific moment or whatever the case may be. But music was very, very, very integral. I can never say that word. It had a very intricate role in my life for a very, very long time. And it still does to a certain extent, but it felt like when you were a teenager, it was like air. You had to have music, right? And my question to you at the time was, why do you think that is? What is it about being a teenager where music plays such a important role in your life? In people's lives, not just your life, baby, not but in everybody. Because I think it's common, right? I think a lot of people have it.
Yes, I agree. It's very...
Turn towards the mic and speak up, my love.
The way that I responded to that was just kind of taken from watching our girls, our teenagers, and how you move, and then obviously my own experience. And it was that it feels like up until that point, a lot of it has been everything that you do and essentially, I guess, think is based off of the people around you, like your parents having you do this. You don't have to think about what's for breakfast. Here's this, what's for breakfast. This is what you should be doing. This is coming from school. So much of it is not having your own thoughts as much. Well, you do have your own thoughts, but not just figuring out you're your own person, as to where when you're a teenager, you're starting to get all of these self-awarenesses to where you're coming into yourself. You're realizing you think differently than maybe you've been told to think or told you think. And you're having your own, trying to figure out where you fit when you realize that things are different. And then there's other ways to do things, other, I guess, thoughts to be had, and kind of feeling alone when your voice still isn't heard, and hearing the music come over a song, something that you resonate with, makes you feel less alone. And somebody's thinking the same way, and you're resonating, you're finding your voice and hearing others' voices. I don't know if it was as close as yesterday.
It was good.
I was trying to recap.
Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense, obviously. And it's kind of a dumb question when I asked you yesterday. I'm like, oh, that's because it's self-explanatory to a certain extent, right? And right after I asked you, and then you answered wonderfully, just like you did.
Oh, thank you.
I thought about our kids and how, like, we can't get in the car and drive anywhere, like literally anywhere, for more than about 15 seconds before they're like, turn on the radio. I need to listen to this. Play this song. And that shit drives me nuts because I don't want to listen to their shit. But it makes perfect sense because they're teenagers. They're right at that point in their life where it is important, I suppose, to them. And then, I mean, anybody can think about moments in their life. And, you know, us as adults, because we have obviously music that we still like listening to and that mm-hmm. kind of marks occasions and times and periods and things like that. So, I mean, it makes sense. But what is it you think that in the big grand scheme of things makes music so powerful? Because I think it does have an immense amount of energy and power behind it, at least good music, the good type of music. And that's up to everybody's own personal discretion, but I think it's just kind of the same thing where...
It's like the vibration of it, the intent of it, the expression of it. You know, there's the catchy, upbeat songs that just feel good to move to. And then there's the songs where you have these artists that are not singing the song for the money, because here's this one, but they find that song, that passion song, in there. Pouring their heart out, and when they pour their heart out, it connects with yours, so you're feeling like this movement with them. And it's okay if it means something different to you than it means to them going, because you can still feel the heart, and then your heart can move in the same way. And sometimes it's just fun, silly sing-along songs that make you feel good and giggle, and sometimes it's gut punches that make you cry and try and keep both hands on the wheel and still see the road because you're sobbing driving down the freeway. I think it's just the way it makes you feel, the way it moves you. What was that?
I totally agree with you. What was what?
I could hear a little something else clicking.
I don't know.
Okay.
Mice. But I totally agree with you. I think that it's like art, right? A good piece of art and music is art, a good book, anything like those, a good podcast, anything that has emotion behind it, that is kind of real and coming from that place of kind of deep expression of emotion. Then it resonates and then it connects and it lasts for a long, long time too.
Yes.
Because you can go back and listen to songs that are 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 years old, but they have that resonance still. Mm. That still, you know, I mean, think about how many oldies, like oldies that we listened to from back in the day that have so much power and meaning and, you know, still have connection and all that kind of stuff still. So
I like the fact that you can listen to these songs that are from, I guess, your past, or doesn't even have to be like your past. It can be a month ago, which I guess technically it's still your past, but there's not really a time span with that. And it means something very much to you in that moment. And you're feeling it, and you can listen to that song later. Like, you don't hear it for a long time, and then you hear it later, and like, you still have that good feeling, like you're saying, you remember what you felt and what was going on, but it can mean something completely different to you at this point in time and have a whole new resonation that's like that kind of dual. It can grow with you. Songs can grow. You can have a different understanding of the words or hear a different part that you didn't hear and fill it with whatever else is going on in your life at that moment. It's just a whole new connection.
That shit happens with movies too.
Yes.
Like, there's so many movies out there that, you know, we go back and watch, or I'll go back and watch as an adult, that maybe I saw a whole bunch of time as a kid, and then you watch them again and you're like, oh my gosh, there was one recently, not like real recently, but I'm trying to think, cause there's like a classic one in my head. It may be like The Man from Snowy River. That might be what I'm thinking of, where I grew up watching that thing over and over and over and over again as a kid, because I liked horses and it was cool. And like the main character in the book, or not in the book, in the movie, his name's Jim Craig. So I really, really liked that movie. And then I go back and watch it as an adult, and it's still good, and I still have all that connection to it. But there's like a really good story, and there's some intricate kind of, not script, but just the storyline itself has some deeper meaning and some different stuff in there that I completely, you know, am oblivious to as a child watching it. But I mean, that happens all the time in movies as well. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you go back and watch movies that you grew up watching and they're shit. And you're like, why did we like this one when we were kids? Because it's just terrible.
Yes. I don't have any of those coming to mind. I know there's plenty, and we could hit play on the TV and all of them would pop up. But just to try and name one right off the bat, I can't think of any at the moment.
So the other thing, babe, well, not the other thing, but how was last year for you? Because technically we're in 2018 right now.
Yes.
And this episode will be released in a few weeks, probably. And then, but it's January 2nd right now. Mm-hmm. So we just barely
got through the new year.
Yeah. So tell us, me, even though I was along the ride with you for the whole thing, tell us about your 2017 baby, because your life went completely 180 degrees in the opposite direction.
Did. I won't elaborate too much on it, just because I think I did most of that on the last time I was on the podcast.
Yeah, but nobody remembers that. I don't remember what you said on the last time.
Pretty unforgettable. Okay, so 2017, I was very rememberable. Rememberable?
You were very rememberable. You always are. But recap for people.
Okay, brief recap. I was, I guess I had a career, stable career, was working a lot of hours, was gone a lot. It rotated between days, nights, worked holidays, missed a lot of the family, but it's something that was very secure and stable, was moving up. It was difficult. You know, there was a lot of challenges with it, and I kind of just decided to break out of everything that I had been doing and everything that I thought I should be doing and find a way to follow my passion, my fire, that would allow me also not only to be happy, but to be home with my family a lot more, which is a huge risk. I mean, all that sounds wonderful, but when you talk about going from this stable, secure paycheck to a no paycheck and accruing debt from going to school, that's a it's a pretty dramatic thing. So I started massage school, which I am almost done. By February 3rd, I will be officially graduated. So that's exciting.
Super exciting.
Super exciting. And, you know, it's been, I guess, a lot more work than I originally thought it was going to be. I'm not, it's like I didn't think I was going to go into it. It was going to be easy, but it was a lot more in depth and intense than I knew it was going to be. So it's
What's the biggest part that you, like, what's the most in depth part that you hadn't necessarily considered? Because obviously you're learning massage, different techniques, all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. But which part is like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how much of this we're learning. And do you know what I mean?
Well, just from that part, I knew that anatomy and like pathology and stuff would come into play, that we do need to know how the bodies work and what the muscles are and what to avoid if we happen to, a client says they have something or anyways, I'll train. There's things that we don't want to be exposed to. Obviously we have to keep ourselves very healthy. So the next person that we massage is also, you know, we're not putting them at any kind of risk. So
yes, yeah,
so
you got to know what to look out for.
We have to know what to look out for. And it's
nasty ass rash.
Yes, exactly. And it's not, you know, if we have to try and explain to somebody why the massage is going to have to be rescheduled for another time, something needs to be checked out. It's not, you know, because we're being mean or we're grossed out. It's not that. It's if the situation was reversed and that was the client before you, you wouldn't want us to contract something that we can in turn give to you. So I knew that that was going to be a part of it, but oh my gosh, I had no idea how in depth and how much. So anatomy and pathology have been some really big classes.
You're basically a doctor now. I mean,
yes, absolutely. No, yeah. No, not even close. But it's been fun and I'm excited to hit that graduation mark and see where it goes. I had some pretty big plans, I guess, of where I wanted it to go and where I thought it was going to go. But now I'm kind of, I guess, rewriting that and just going to see. Like, I'm interested to see where it's going to go and what's going to develop from it and how it's going to shape and mold. And I definitely want to take more classes, though. Not anatomy classes or pathology classes, because honestly, pathology turns me into the biggest hypochondriac. I can't read and study that without just having this. Oh, it's so hard. Reading about all those things is so hard. It's not good for my mental well-being, I think. But I want to take advanced classes and some of these techniques that I'm learning and learn more techniques, because I haven't learned one massage technique that I thought was useless or that I wouldn't use, or okay, that's kind of fun, but I'm not going to really. Everything has been, oh, I like that. I like that more and more. And then the other energy work that they're bringing into it, just like everything wraps up so nice. So I want more classes. Not that I want to stay in school with this schedule, but I definitely want more classes. And I think that's something that I'll continue to do throughout. I think I'll always be looking for something else that I can learn with it and apply. But as far as how 2017 was, it's great. There's all these adventures. I've taken all of these, you know, this big risk and this big jump, and it's been wonderful and trying and scary and just exhilarating. But I'm okay with saying goodbye to 2017. I'm okay with like, okay, let's say, woo, that one's out of the way. Let's see what 2018 has and bring in see what adventures are to be held.
2018 is an 11.
It is an 11.
It's an 11 year.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay. See, it's going to be great. I'm a little excited. I didn't put that together.
Yeah. It's an 11 year, which supposedly is supposed to be massively cool and important.
It's not supposedly. I wholeheartedly believe that. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Very excited about that. Well, I guess I better dream really big then, because it's quite a manifesting year. So,
you think so? You think it'll be a year of manifestation?
I think any year has a potential for that, but it's what you put into it and... I don't know. It feels good. I think it's going to be a good year. I do.
Yeah.
I really do.
I do too.
I don't know. We'll see what I say in a month when I'm taking the Emblex. No, I think it's going to be a good year. I'm excited for it.
It'll be neat, huh?
Yeah. I'm really excited for it.
I'm excited for this year. I'm excited for what we have in store for us, regardless of whatever that may be. I am also excited to say goodbye to 2017.
See?
So it wasn't a terrible year by any means, but no. It definitely was crazy for us and busy.
It was very crazy.
Yeah. That's why, like, we haven't had a lot of podcasts in the latter part of 2017. And that sucked. Like, that totally pissed me off. But it is what it is. And now we just get to keep pushing episodes out there. We're going to do this more often, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of these things that, as the podcast evolved and continues to evolve, I like to talk to people that I like to talk to. And we had this conversation, and it's like, I like talking to you, and we have fun conversations, and there's no reason why we can't just do more episodes together, because I like it. And I don't really care what they like. I do to a certain extent. You know, if you're listening, I hope that you understand I do care what you think and what you like in regards to the podcast, but it's not a deciding factor. The deciding factor is definitely what I want to do, and I want to talk to my wife. So that's, we're going to do more of these, and I think it'll be fun. I'm already having fun. Are you having fun?
I am having fun.
Yeah, it's nice.
Like, I have a whole lot of things that are like a little more sticky topics that we may get into, because I have a whole lot to talk about. So it really depends on how much you...
Well, go for it.
Well, not at this moment. I can't let it all
what
out.
What are we waiting for? Throw one out. Let's see.
Throw one out?
Yeah, what's a sticky topic? No. Let's see if it actually sticks.
It is. It's sticking in my belly. It's not coming up. I don't think I can say it right now. You just totally.
Well, I just had this flash. I thought that one of the things that we need to do too, because we were talking yesterday on our nice long ass drive to Montana, or back home from Montana.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to do, like, we want to go out and hike more and be more active in the outdoors and all those type of things. We need to haul this equipment, which is very easily done, up to the top of the mountain and record a podcast up on the top of the mountain.
Okay, that would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be really cool.
It would totally be cool to record for obviously the people listening, because they don't know where we live. We live in this beautiful valley that's surrounded by a lot of beautiful mountains, and we can be in the mountains in like 20 minutes. Like, it's just a short little car ride, and we're up in the mountains, and we can go and hike and do all these fun things. And there's a huge peak up there that would be really neat to hike up to and record on top of the mountain. I think that would be really cool.
Yes, let's do that. Let's.
We'll have to do one. We'll have an episode.
Let's do a couple. I think a couple. That sounds really great.
I think it sounds great now, but by the time we get up there and start recording, we'll be like, this was the dumbest idea ever.
Maybe. I don't know. I think I know that background noise isn't something that is always a great thing, but
it's nature.
Like, having a little creek, little river going by us would be...
Yeah, that would
be way
cool.
I would just love it. I would love it.
Maybe we need to do more. Like, maybe we just have a huge idea now where we have hiking podcasts. Where we go for hikes and record episodes and interview people on the side of mountains and stuff like that. That would be way cool.
That would be cool. If I'm coming, though, if it's ones that I'm a part of, it's going to have to be warmer because I don't handle the cold very well. And the whole time you'll just hear my teeth chattering.
We'll do it in the summer.
Like really warm, midsummer, like August.
August. It's too hot. So you don't want to throw out any of your sticky ideas because I have another question for you.
Give me your question.
Well, it can wait.
Maybe it'll ease into it. Maybe ooze. Who knows?
It'll wait.
It'll wait?
Yeah, unless you have something.
No, go for it.
I know you do, though. You have something. You just
I do, but...
Oh, you're so silly.
Let's just see. Let's just get there.
So...
That's the I love you that's really... I'm frustrated.
I love you so much. One of the big things for me in 2017 was Every Man and the men's group and the Yellowstone expedition and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes I feel like I've talked about it ad nauseum on the podcast. And so people that do tune in and listen... Are you pulling a hair off the mic?
It's bothering me, but it's a little deeper. Can we just pause for a second so I can get it?
Just get rid of it.
It's gross.
There you go.
Okay.
So it was a very big part of my last year and the latter part of my last year. And I had some really profound experiences and some neat things that took place and started the men's group in Salt Lake and all these kind of different things that have gone on for me, but I want to get your take on it.
You want to get my take?
Yeah, I want to. Okay. I want you to share what it was like to be, to watch your husband go through this experience, and what changes you saw in him, what benefits or not benefits, or just your take on the whole experience. And I mean, you can kind of start from. You know, me going off on that expedition up into Yellowstone. And then from that point on, cause it's been kind of a connected congruent thing over the last few months since that point where, you know, I've been in this constant state of kind of working and processing and, I think incorporating the life experience that I had on the expedition, integrating that over the past few months into our everyday life to a certain extent, as best as I can.
Okay.
So I want to hear your take on it.
Okay. Well, start off was very excited for you. Little parts that you were nervous at the beginning, you know, I knew you had, so I wasn't nervous for you at all. I was very excited for you to go on the expedition. I had my own, I guess, nervous parts of it, but as far as like, I knew it was going to be very life changing for you. I knew it was going to be, and even if it wasn't, you didn't have these like profound breakthroughs, self-realizations. I knew that you backpacking, hiking up through Yellowstone, it was just going to be the most amazing time you've had, regardless of like if profound moments hit, then added benefit. You were just going to really take a breath and enjoy just breathe because you're working hard. You're always gone. Excuse me. And it feels like you just run from one thing to the next. You know, you're busy. You've got a lot. So I was really looking forward to just that alone. But on top of it, you gained so much from it. And the men's group that you're now hosting is something that you've talked about for a long time and something that you've wanted to do. So watching you have this thing that you've wanted and that's been so massively important to you for so long, and then moving into doing it and going and seeing it grow and seeing how you're able to move through that, and how it's just, I love watching you move. I love watching you go with your heart when you take your, not what you're supposed to do and all these things, but when you lead with your heart, it's massive. So it's been really neat on that hand. And you've worked with some of the techniques that you're learning, these new things. You've applied it with me. You've applied it with the kids. I've tried applying it some with the kids. There's one little bit of a funny story, if you don't mind me sharing.
Tell it.
Okay. I'll try. So if I'm going to be on the podcast more, you guys are all learn that whenever I have a funny story or a joke, I always butcher it. I'm not good at the retells, but I'll do my best.
That's our coffee pot. Go ahead, babe.
That was my foot kicking it. So I was talking to one of our girls and they were just having a moment and being quite sassy. And I was trying to get them to go through and explain what they were feeling, because it was just, everything was very agitated, very elevated. And was doing something. So I'm asking them, you know, what they're feeling, where are they feeling it? And just really working with that and tell me what it looks like. Tell me, you know, trying to get them focusing on that. And they were becoming more and more frustrated and a little more snotty attitude came out. And I was like, oh, you're frustrating me so bad. And then they looked at me calmly and smiled and said, where are you feeling it? And I lost it. I just sat there and laughed, and then they were laughing. So even though it didn't work as I wanted and talking that and digging into that, it still provided this amazing, you know, comic relief that led the situation just to calm down. But she's so witty.
Yeah.
She kicks my butt. She's so witty. I can't keep up with her.
So if you were going to, what's that? Did I interrupt you? Did you have to? Go ahead.
I wasn't.
No.
This may play into your next question or it may not, because, you know, I have all these positive things to say, but I also have another side of it that isn't as positive.
Let's hear it.
So much of it is channeling, you know, where you're like getting out of the story and just talking about what you're feeling and what it means and where it is. And you do so much of that at the group and sharing with them. And then with the traveling, that I feel like you forget to talk to me. You know, it's, you save it for group. You save what's going on for group. You save how you want to have this conversation. And it's like, I don't get to hear what's going on with you very much. You did this when we went to Montana. You had that where you talked to me and it was wonderful. And it's not that, you know, we don't talk. It's not just the stuff that's going through that's really, you save it.
Well, it's not that I save it. It's that it takes practice. And it takes practice to stay connected to some of those things at times and into those spaces, especially when life gets hectic and crazy, which our life has been for like the last 2 months.
Yes.
And so it's definitely not a matter of me saving it for group or not wanting to talk to you about anything. It's just that it takes practice to kind of drop into those spaces and then to stay in those spaces. And I haven't had a ton of practice at it. It's the continual practice. And then also separating, like being present in the moment, even when life's crazy and busy and hectic. And that too, obviously take practice. I think everybody struggles with that because undoubtedly everybody's got some sort of crazy life that they're trying to move through.
No, it's just us.
It is just us. Just but if you were going to if you were going to talk to somebody, like if you were going to talk to a girlfriend or something like that, that you were going to try to convince them to not let, but encourage their husband to go on a similar type experience or an everyman retreat or something like that, where this is what you will benefit from or what your husband will benefit from. This is why you should let him go or encourage him to go. Like these are some changes that you may possibly see or will see, or like sell it to them, not to the listeners, but to that imaginary person that we're talking to.
Well, I think the first thing that I would bring up is the, yes, life's stressful, it's hectic, but the stress load does seem less on you, even though things are busy and hectic and it can be going. It feels like, feels like you carry maybe just a little bit less on your shoulders, and that you have, when things get a little crazy or if you feel some emotions, you have awareness of it. You're like, oh, okay, I'm feeling this. And you're able to move through that. You respect when you need a moment to process in silence by yourself for a drive, however. So just that being able to, I mean, you've always been pretty good at coping and dealing with emotions, but that change has been really significant. You're calmer. It feels like you're more in touch with who you are and more confident in your abilities. So again, those are huge selling points. The fact that it teaches you how to be in touch, and it's not a, you know, I am man, hear me roar, camp, and woman, go make me some food things. It's just being able to connect and relate to yourself, recognize self, recognize that it's not up to you to solve the world's problems, but, you know, you do what you can. I think that benefit just, it has made it happier. It has made it easier flowing. So I would.
Do you think it's made me a better husband in a sense?
Well, if I answer that, then I imply that you were
less than a husband prior to.
Like, is this a, I don't know if I want to answer that. Yes, I do. I think it's made you a better husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
I definitely do.
Like I talk about it. I feel like I talk about it a lot on the podcast and opportunities. And we've had a couple of guests previously to this episode pertaining directly to that type of work and men's groups and every man and things like that. But it's so important to me. Like, I think it's so needed and so massively, just people would benefit so much. And it doesn't matter what it is, but it's just the whole idea that men suck most of the time at connecting and expressing and communicating emotion. And so find something that you resonate with and connect with that will allow you to practice that more and to be in that space more. And whether it's a men's group, whether it's every man, whether it's some sort of retreat or some expedition, it doesn't matter what it is, but get out of the concept and idea that you, first off, don't need that, or maybe you don't even have awareness of the fact that you aren't emotionally connected and communicating at times, and then find ways to do that and practice that more. And I think that's massively important. So that's why I want to continue to talk about it. And we'll probably, honestly, probably talk about it some more at some point down the road, because that's how important it is to me.
It's very important. I think you need to keep talking about it a lot, because that opens the doors for guys to start thinking about it and being able to. There's two guys that I'm pretty close with in a sense, not like, you know, we're not like great friends and call up and go do things, but as far as our, I guess, working relationship in a sense with, we're pretty close. And we've had some pretty, you know, deep conversations about things. And so that line of communication is open. But I got two very, and I talked to you about these responses when I started talking, like telling these guys about your group. And I don't know if it's because it came from a woman or if it triggers insecurities that they have in themselves, but the first one got very angry and talked about how, you know, what a man needs is to be able to go someplace where they can like shoot bazookas and like do these. He was very angry and very agitated and started like making a point to how women need theirs, where they're like being crafty in a sense. And so I got a little sassy back. I'm like, well, I guess I should be barefoot pregnant in the kitchen. And anyways, I probably didn't go with that well, but it was funny to see that this like heart of this just allows you to be you. It's taken away everything that says, this is what you're supposed to be. This is what society says you should be. This is how you're supposed to behave, either whether it's completely biased to everything, so you can be on this end of the spectrum, or banging on your chest, having, you know, whatever male stereotypical stereotype thing you want to apply on that. It just says, this is you. You can dig in and find you, and you can be okay with you, and you don't have to be anything other than you. I couldn't get that out across enough. It came off like you're not manly enough. This is how you be a man. And it was just infuriating for him. And, you know, we got past it and it was fine, but it took a little bit. I didn't talk to him for a little while because he was really angry. And then another one was, it was almost like insulting on another sense. It seemed like he had a really bad experience and more, I don't know, trying to, I couldn't speculate on that because he didn't really go, but his response was, been there, done that, feel better, thanks. And so I don't know how, other than talking about it and putting it out there, can start to break free and see that this is different. Seeing that, like, the group that you're holding, this every man, is different. It's not about putting you into a box that you're supposed to fit in. It's allowing you to realize you're not standing in any box, and everything that you're feeling and experiencing, you're allowed to feel. But I don't think it's going to come from us. It's going to come from you and putting it out there.
Yeah. So it's so hard though.
It is.
And it's so, because everybody's got their own, obviously, not just their own baggage, but their own perspective and their own ideas. And especially when it comes to, like, if we were to pick apart and look at masculinity, everybody has a certain understanding of what masculinity is. And sometimes it's based off of their upbringing. Sometimes it's based off of like societal viewpoints and things like that. And I don't think that there is one definition of what it is or what it should be. I think it's very fluid and it's very much applicable to whatever it is in your life and how it plays out in your life. But I think that one stereotype that we need to kind of shift away from and do away with is the stereotype that men should just be overly masculine in a sense and disconnected from emotion. And we don't verbalize it that way, but that's the stereotype that exists where it's, do you know what I mean? Where men aren't supposed to feel, men aren't supposed to express, they're not supposed to cry, they're supposed to be, rocks when it comes to that and be able to absorb that and move on and keep going and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, that stuff's just bullshit, obviously. Mm-hmm. And that's the stereotype that I think is most detrimental to the whole masculine stereotype that exists out there, because it's not accurate in any way, shape, or form. I can think of all the men that I know in my life and it's not accurate, but even those, you know, even men in general, I know that I've done it from time to time and throughout my life where you still put that on and still kind of portray that mm-hmm. and wear that in a sense, because for whatever reason, you think that's what you're supposed to be doing as opposed to, being more connected and more open and, you know, just okay with your emotions and anger and rage or whatever it may be.
I agree. It's kind of funny. We see the whole spectrum of it in our youngest boy.
Mm-hmm.
As he goes from...
He's our only boy, just our youngest.
Well, he's our youngest and our boy. So our youngest boy just kind of tied in. Just this complete heart compassion, you know, wanting to save the bird that was injured at the park and crying when he, you know, sees sweet puppy things on TV that, you know, they need a home, just this heart that just melts and he'll do absolutely anything for you. And then we have these moments where, you know, he's definitely going through puberty. So there's a little bit of testosterone building and somebody says something or does something wrong. And then he's got his little chest just puffed out and just has these arms and wants to go on this completely opposite end of it. So it's kind of neat to watch how big the spectrum is of just based off of what you're feeling. Nothing to do with what it should be and what it shouldn't. It's just...
Yeah, but he's susceptible to those societal viewpoints, yes, even at this point, right? Those, yes, stereotypes, because you can see that as well in him where, you know, he's trying to decide what it does mean to be a man or, mm-hmm, or to be a teenage boy or whatever the case may be. And he's trying to put all those pieces together,
yeah,
and using the influences that he has from the outside world and not just from me, but from, you know, society and television and movies and the media and all that kind of shit.
I think he's struggling really hard with feeling like his role is protector and that he has to be the role to take it on. Just like if something's happening that isn't right, a bullying situation or something, it's his job to be the enforcer, to step in and protect, I guess, underdog. I don't know what to say to call it. And that's probably a really mean way to put it, but I don't know what verbiage I should use for that. So just for the sake of the fact that I don't have that, we're going to go with underdog. But it's his role to just, that's his, he's a protector. He's going to go in, he's going to use brute strength. He's going to use power. He's going to do this to make sure that this person's okay. And then he very gently walks them home and talks to the parents, or he isn't allowed to show weakness or pain in public. He'll tell us, like, he comes in and stubs his toe or it's time for bed and he's rolling around on the floor not wanting to do anything. But in public, he can have a pretty good, like, he came home with just blood coming off of his head where he cracked his head on a cupboard at somebody's house and got a nice laceration on the top of his head, and you could see it all just like huge and swollen out with a bump, and he was just stone face, and I got him alone for a minute looking at it, and then boom, tears hit. But he was not gonna cry in front of somebody else. He was like, that doesn't happen, that makes me weak. So
yeah, that's the society thing.
Yeah,
that sucks. It sucks that's present. It sucks that we see it in our child, and you know, he's got that wonderful job of the next 40 years of his life trying to pick that all apart and make peace with it.
Maybe it won't have to take that long.
Yeah. 20 years, 15, 5.
I don't know.
5 years.
He's got you. I think he can go through it.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
Brings out your brute strength too, huh?
It does sometimes. So what are some of the sticky questions that you have?
Oh, it does not play into this. I can't segue from that.
Oh, my God. We got to...
Well, if you guys want to hear, then I guess you'll just have to listen to the next one that I'm on. Maybe I'll talk about it. I don't know. It goes everywhere from, I guess, a lot of self-recognition. It goes from comfort levels to like breaking chains and breaking whatever codependency things, and then figuring out who you are and being okay with who you are and not just the way you think or feel or move, and, you know, your sexuality, your body. I have a whole big, a lot.
That's wonderful.
So it may be from it's okay to cry in public to it's okay to run around naked.
That's wonderful.
I don't know.
Like, why would you not want to talk about that right now?
Well, for one, I don't appreciate being pressured, so you should back off. Because I'm not ready to talk about it yet.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I have another like shitty thing that we can talk about.
Oh.
I don't know how shitty it is, but...
I'll let you know in about 2 seconds.
Yeah. So one of the things that happened yesterday as well when we were driving home from Montana was we had a little bit of an argument, a little bit of a fight. And are you okay talking about that? Are you going to feel comfortable if we talk about that a little bit?
I'll let you know.
Yes, I'm comfortable.
Go ahead.
I think the topic that we ended up kind of solidifying the argument down to, in a sense, and it took us a little bit of time to get to that point. I think that it's something that's pretty, I don't want to say common, but I think that it's, I think a lot of people probably struggle with the two end of the spectrum or the both ends of the spectrum that we kind of got to. And so rather than try to go through the whole argument, because obviously nobody wants to hear about how you and I fought yesterday on our drive home.
They make it sound pretty intense.
It wasn't that intense. It was pretty boring as far as arguments go. But what it was, to solidify, not solidify it, but to kind of make it small in a sense and break it down. It was, at times you have an inability to make a decision, and at times I have an ability to make decisions too much or too often. And it comes off in a controlling way at times when I do it. And in your, you know, in the instances where you don't make decisions about things, it comes off as this passive type inability to make decisions about stuff. And at both ends of that spectrum, so where you're coming from and from where I'm coming from, definitely speak to deeper things that we both deal with and experience individually.
Mm-hmm.
And so... first off, describe your perspective of your end of the spectrum. Does that make sense?
My end of the spectrum, not the conversation that we had yesterday.
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, if I completely butchered the fuck out of that conversation, you want to clarify a few things.
No, you did good. I mean, like, it didn't take us quite a while to get, it took you quite a while to get there. I was there just waiting for you to catch up.
Yeah.
I guess my end of the spectrum is... it's not that it's unable to make decisions. It's fear of upsetting the other person. Now, this is my end of the spectrum. This isn't saying I'm sitting over here afraid of upsetting you. That's not the case.
Well, this is very much just your...
yeah, just my...
personality, your coping, your processing.
My experiences, my life experiences, which has led to this.
Yeah, and the fact is it's not a matter of you fearful of... making decisions because you don't want to upset me. The fact is you do that with other aspects of your life as well and in other relationships and other dynamics. It's not just in relation to you and I.
Yes, it was a clarification on that.
Yeah.
It's afraid of, like I said, upsetting the other person. It's if it's somebody that like you don't want to upset, or you're fearful of outcomes, or if you make the wrong, whatever ramifications there may be. Mine's probably, I don't know, my end of the spectrum, you know, I guess we all fall on it. However, I guess mine's pretty far just because of my past, because I've got a lot of history of making the wrong decision, making the wrong choice was, it had a pretty bad consequence. So it just became easier to not make any choices, any decisions, except for the point when you were pushed beyond which you could handle. And then it usually would be, you know, a very different way that it would come out when it, you had to be able to stand up completely, because there's no way in hell you're going to let this happen, to make that decision. Other than that, it's easier just to be passive, keep waters calm, not rock the boat, not make something bad because you made the wrong decision or you suggested something that's going to upset somebody. So trying to work with that, and granted, it's obviously become a lot better. I'm much more able to make decisions, and you're working on listening to them when I do. But so that's just where it's coming from my end of the spectrum, is that fear of, you know, things are going to go bad. Things are going to be really bad if I choose the wrong thing, if I do the wrong thing, if I mess this up. So I'm just not going to move. I'm not going to breathe. I'm not going to do anything but what it is that you tell me that you want to do, or that what you want to happen, because then I know I'm doing the right thing. And as long as I don't mess it up, everything's okay. So that's a huge hurdle that, even though I don't believe that anymore, I know I can make my decisions. If I want this and you don't want it, whatever. Oh, well, if I mess this up, whatever. Oh, well, I know that. But to get that feeling out of my stomach at times, it's very hard. So knowing it and
implementing
it. It's very, very difficult. It's two different things.
Yeah.
And so, and there's times that I want to so bad, but it feels like it comes up in my throat and it just sticks right there. I can't say anything. And then there's times, babe, like we talked about yesterday, that I just don't care. I don't care one way or the other. I don't care if we do this or this. They both sound great. So it makes no difference. So if I have absolutely no preference whatsoever, then why don't you say what your preference is? Because if you have a preference, then you should choose it. But so that's just kind of that. And then another end of it, if you want me to continue, or do you want me to be done?
No.
Is feeling like when you do say what you want and make that choice, you're not heard and it's ignored or it's shot down. And so then it's like, well, what was the point of saying that if we're just going to end up doing this anyways? So it just kind of, there's a lot of convoluted there.
Yeah.
A lot of things that play into a role.
There is. It's very, very convoluted because we both play like an intricate part in it, obviously, right? Where like that, that nature of you to not make decisions or to avoid making decisions at times plays, what did I say? Like you gave me a face.
No, you are. It's so hard. It's like, it's pushing a little bit of a, oh yeah. Oh yeah, button in me, like nature of you to not make decisions. I'm like, I want to start calling out, buddy. Well, it's like it's hitting a resilient, but it's a trigger.
Yeah.
It's hitting a little button for me in my belly. It's upsetting me.
Yeah, maybe the wrong word, your nature, because I don't think it is your nature. I think it is a
default.
No, I don't even think it's the default. I think it's just a programming thing. Right. We talked about that a little bit yesterday and how we have programming things that have taken place over our life because of the experiences that we've gone through. And so then our brain gets stuck in those pathways. And that's just kind of one of yours, though, where you tend to avoid making decisions based out of fear or reprisal or consequences. And so.
And yes, I say yes a lot. That's another thing that I've been working on, is not wanting to make the decisions. And when somebody asks me to do something that I really don't want to do, I say yes.
Yeah.
Because it's just, yeah, it's hard to say no. So that's also something that's been a factor that I'm
working on
doing better with.
You're doing way better.
I am.
And then, oh, excuse me. So from my end of the spectrum, it's like you don't make decisions, so I have to make decisions. And I hate making decisions at times. And it's overwhelming and it's difficult for me to feel like I always have to make decisions. But it very much plays into aspects of my personality and my programming, because I like things to operate the way that I want them to operate. I like things to go the way that I want them to go. I'm very meticulous and obsessive compulsive about things at times. Sometimes it's a benefit and other times it's a detrimental thing. And so I like to be able to make the decisions when it comes to certain things. And then there's times that I don't. But the dynamic of those two personality traits, yours and mine, kind of conflicting at times is I come from this place of loving you immensely and seeing that at times the inability to make a decision is you not like speaking up for what you really want and me wanting you to be able to speak up for what you really want, because I want to know what you really want, but I also want you to be empowered to have that, to be able to speak what you really want, because I'm not an asshole and I'm not like trying to, you know, keep you barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen cooking dinner for me. And so
I had coffee in my mouth.
But those two things, they play into each other in almost an unhealthy way at times. And so we have to bring awareness to it and recognize it. And that's what we talked about yesterday as well, and kind of some of the ways that we can do better at doing that, because we both have a role to play in it. And at times it's beneficial, but a lot of times it's not. And I recognize my end of it where I don't listen to you because we've been doing things a certain way for a long time, where this part was really funny when I kind of had this epiphany aspect of all these things coming together, where I realized that I'll ask you all the time, well, do you want to do this? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do this? And I'll give you a couple of different ideas or options if we're trying to brainstorm about what we're going to be doing. And you're like, yeah, that sounds good. Let's do that. And I'm like, no, we're not going to do that. And then I'll switch and I'll be like, well, what about this? You want to do this? And you're like, yeah, that's fine. Let's do that. And I'm like, no, I don't really want to do that. And I sit there and go in circles. And I can see how frustrating that would be from where you're sitting. But I realized the reason I did that, or the reason that I do that, was because I thought that, like, I had this part of me in the back, this subconscious part of me that was thinking you were just agreeing with whatever I was saying rather than telling me what you really wanted to do. So I might throw out an idea because I think maybe you'll want to do this. And then when you're like, yeah, let's do that, I'm like, she's not really telling me she wants to do that. She's just agreeing with me because she doesn't want to make a decision, or she doesn't really want to tell me what she wants to do because she thinks I'm not going to want to do that. Like, it's this super convoluted, stupid game that happens inside of my head and then manifests and plays itself out in our everyday life. And so that's another thing that I have to work on, is it's like if you say you want to do something, I'm just going to take it at that you want to do it. And I'm not going to offer up ideas and then suddenly be like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do something else. You're super quiet now and disconnected and not looking at your stupid husband.
I was listening. I was letting it go. You're sitting in front of our bay window in the firm and the sun is coming through really bright. So when I look at you, it's awesome and it's amazing.
Do you want me to close the curtains?
No, we're good.
Okay.
Because I'm sure we're getting close to being. So I try to keep averting my eyes and leaning so I'm not.
Avert your eyes from my beauty. I'm glowing.
It's so bright and shiny.
Is my aura blinding you?
It's so shiny. It really is. I was playing with that. So,
anything else you want to say about that shit? It's still kind of fresh for us. And I thought about talking about it on the podcast today.
It is still kind of fresh. It's still hitting that little bit because it's so funny because I'm kind of irritated at how I feel like that makes me sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm just sitting here, you know, whatever you want. But honestly, like a lot of it is whatever you want. And that's frustrating. But then there's also so many times that, like you're saying, how does that sound? I think, oh, that's a good idea. I'm not going to disagree with something just because it's your idea. And I'm like, it's got to be my idea if it sounds good. And then you change your mind so much that it's like, I don't care. Just pick something. For the love of God, just pick something. And then things I say explicitly, like this came up yesterday, like, let's be open. As long as we're doing something, I just do not want to go back and go to bed and do nothing. I want to do something. As long as it's not this. And then that's exactly what we did. We went back to bed and did nothing, you know. Well, anyways, I'll edit that. We didn't do nothing. It just went to bed a lot earlier than I wanted to.
Yeah, and you wanted to do something, but instead we ended up going to bed early.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was frustrating because the whole write-up there was this. And then you point out that I don't make the decisions. I didn't say anything. And I'm like, yes, I did. And you're like, that's 5 hours ago. You need to say it again. Like, I'm sorry if you're not going to listen. So it kind of goes back and forth with that. And then, you know, how many times do we discuss something and I give you my idea and I say like this and like very strongly encourage this and you don't do that and you do something different. And then you come back and say, you have my great idea. And then we have this like joke about if you listen to me, it goes well. Like, I make these decisions a lot and you just completely ignore them.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to not have that. Yeah, I am passive. Yes, I do want you to be happy. Yes, I will let go of things that maybe I want because I think you want this more. But not as much as you think it is and not as much as it was. Like in the beginning, there's a lot of decisions that we made in the beginning of our relationship that that I really wanted something different. And I wish I would have spoke up then. But I'm not going to do that anymore. But little things like when you give me the big decision of what the hell do we want to eat? Sometimes I just don't care. I'm just hungry. I don't care. It's not indecisive. It's like first stop on the right. Let's take that. Eat that. First thing we see when we open the fridge and I don't know. So it's just hard. It's such a dynamic of the role that I played very well, the role that you like to play.
Sometimes.
And the role that you despise playing, which is the exact same role. You like to make the decisions. You like to have things go your way. Everybody likes to have things go their way. That's not a character default. I mean, if you have, you know, the options, you want things to go your way or another way, my way, obviously. So you like to have that. But then at the same point, you hate to make the decisions, but you like the decisions to be made that still go your way.
Well, you know, I think it really has more to do with my own internal processing of it. Because, I mean, you described that very well, where it's like, I like to make decisions. Everybody likes to have things go their way. And then you hate to make decisions. Mm-hmm. And I do feel that way. But that doesn't really make sense. Do you know what I mean? Like in like a practical sense of everyday life, how can you have those two things? Because they don't really coincide and work. Yeah. And I think the reality is I place too much weight upon myself and on my own shoulders, thinking that I need to make the decisions, not because I'm trying to control or trying, but because I think that like we talked about where it's like, I just love my family. I love my wife. I love my children, my friends, these people that I care about. I love and care about them and I want them to be happy. And I have this, whether it's good or bad, this part of my brain that thinks I know what will make them happy and I know how I can help them to be happy. And so I want to make the decisions to get them to that place of being happy. But then it's that thing where it's like, you know, at the end of the day, it's an individual person's choice on whether or not they're going to choose to be happy. And I have very little to do with that, even though I can help and all those little small little things. But
yeah, you can help, you can hinder, but you can't control it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a difficult thing. That's a difficult thing for me to let go of. But it's awareness of it. And I think it was really beneficial for me to have some of that awareness yesterday. And I realized that there's a lot of times that whole fucking dynamic of me being like, well, let's do this. And you're like, okay, that sounds good. I'm like, nah, I don't really want to do that. Like, I can't even imagine how stressful and annoying that is because that would drive me nuts. So I'm going to really work on bringing awareness to that aspect of it, of my personality, because I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that to you because that's super annoying.
But I didn't understand where you were coming from with that, though. Yeah. I thought it was just like the way you described it as you don't want to settle on that because you thought I was just going with what you want. So while you have this, I make decisions role, it's like you said, you're not an asshole. It doesn't come from that. It comes from, I want things to go really well for you. I want things to move very smoothly for you. I want you to get what you want. I want you to be happy. So that's where you come from. And that's a whole lot different than walking through the door and like flipping the couch over because the cushions are on the wrong spot. Like, it has nothing to do with jerky, aggressive asshole whatsoever. It's complete compassion. It's frustrating. But And it's like the same aspect of not wanting to upset you or choose something that you don't want. It's you're wanting to make decisions, or you making decisions and me not, is both coming from wanting the other person to be happy. And meanwhile, we're just crossing lines and irritating the shit out of each other. So understanding that point, that when you suggest something and then turn it down is because you're thinking that I'm just agreeing with you just to agree with you. Like, that was a big awareness for me. And so you expressing that helps in that situation for me. So if you happen to suggest something and I happen to think it's a good idea and say, yeah, let's do that, and you're like, no, then I can say, I'd really like to do that, and maybe clarify that. So you're hearing that, yes, I'm saying this decision is something that I want. This would be great. It's okay if you came up with a first. I'm not agreeing, just agree with you. I want to do that. And then that'll help take the pressure off and trying to guess, does she really want to? Does she not? And so I'm glad that you said that. I'm glad that you had that awareness, because that just opens up a whole new door of communication for us.
Do you think there's a lot of people that deal with this dynamic in a sense?
I think, I hope that some of your listeners will respond to this, just this conversation alone, this part of the conversation, because I'm pretty confident that you've got men and women listening to this podcast. Maybe they listen to it together that are in relationships. Maybe they don't. But whether their role, because it can be the women making all the decisions and the guys passive back and forth. So whatever their role is, it doesn't, yeah, it's not gender related.
We know people like that.
Oh, yes, we do. So it's not gender specific. But, you know, I can just see them like in the car when this comes out and like hitting their steering wheel and like pointing at the radio. Yes, yes, yes. And hearing that, I think that this is going to be something that so many people deal with, because you've seen it. How many times have you seen it? How many times have I seen it? We're not unique in that factor.
Yeah.
Our experience of it and the way we do it with each other. What do you do? I'm sorry. Like, that's unique. But I think this dynamic itself is very, very prominent,
very
in relationships.
Common, yeah.
And that, like, having those conversations that may be a little bit hard and push those little buttons in your belly to where you have more of an awareness of what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, and how much I am trying to make that effort. And I have more of an awareness of how much you need to hear my decisions more. You need to hear my voice more, because your natural instinct is to be loving and supporting and make me happy. So, like, that conversation alone opens up the doors for us to be able to communicate better and have that. And less is on you feeling like you have to decide, and I get to say more and know that I have to say, I would really like to do that. I want you to hear that. I would like to do that. Until we start, you know, I think with enough practice of that, then it goes to, we start to trust more what each other says with that. Not that we don't have trust in a relationship, but when it comes to things like that, we don't have trust with that. I don't trust that the decision that I make or what you're saying is really what you want. I feel like you're coddling. And the same with you. So if you say, hey, I want this, or no, I don't want this, it's not for the other person. It's a simple yes, no, and just trust that and move from there.
Yeah.
I think that's big.
I realized yesterday after we got home at one point, you asked me a question and I heard your question, but I didn't process your question because I was lost in thought of something else. I was in the middle of thinking about something else. And so I heard your question, but I didn't really process it, or I didn't respond either. And you immediately kind of called me out on the fact that, like, I was ignoring you and that I didn't respond to you. And then that kind of snapped me out of what I was thinking about. And then I realized, okay, there's this episode of The Simpsons, and I don't know, because The Simpsons has been on for 46 years, but how long ago this episode was. And it's like Homer sitting at the table playing poker or something like that with all of his buddies, and they're laughing and joking, and somebody makes a joke at him or teases him or something like that. And then it like goes to this process of like what Homer thinks. And it's like something was said. Was it good? Was it bad? And he's sitting there thinking, trying to decipher what was said. And then he finally registers and puts it all together and then comes back into the moment. And it's like 5 hours later, everybody's gone home and he's sitting at the table by himself. but it's, I realized that had happened yesterday. And so it makes me think, like, how often do I not listen to you? And it's not from a space of like tuning you out because you drive me nuts and I don't want to listen to my bitchy wife bitch at me, which you're not. But it's that place of being lost in your own head and processing things and thinking about something else and being distracted. Think about how often with the boy, we have to really get his attention and make sure that he is understanding and listening to what we're saying to him.
Yeah, babe, it happens a lot. I don't have to really think about it. It happens a lot.
But that's something else that people do on a regular basis, right?
Yeah.
And it goes into like being mindful and being present in the moment. And so I think one thing that you and I could do is really recognizing that, because you do that too.
I do not.
You have the same thing where I'll be talking to you or I'll ask you something.
You always have my undivided attention. You're wrong.
But recognizing that that's it, not an asshole thing that happens where I'm ignoring you and I'm not paying attention and vice versa, that you're, you know, not listening to me, recognizing that it's a human thing where if at times you're processing things through your brain and you're thinking about things, then you may auditorily hear something or the person talking to you, but you won't actually process what it is that they're saying. And so allowing them that opportunity. And if it's something like it's important, or obviously if it's massively important, then you're involved in an in-depth conversation, then they are assholes because they're tuning out and listening to something else in their brain. But it, giving them the opportunity to reconnect in the moment and maybe repeating their question or bringing their attention awareness to, hey, I just asked you a question, dumbass. Would you mind listening to me and responding?
So what if I don't call you dumbass? What if I, you know, I'll try another way.
You can call like, me dumbass if you want.
I make jokes about like how we've talked about how if I just flash you, then that'll get your attention. But sometimes that doesn't work either.
It doesn't because then my brain goes to this other place.
No, where sometimes you don't even see. I'm standing there like an idiot with my shirt up shaking it and you're still stuck on your computer or something.
But that's the power of the brain, right? How distracted you could be in your own head of whatever it is that you're thinking about or processing.
Or
spilling on yourself as you take a drink.
It's my superpower. So yeah, try and be more. That's a hard one.
It is
because I feel like too at that point that unless it's massively important and you're that busy, I should just let you be.
Yeah, but like yesterday, I think I was like washing dishes or rinsing something. Like I wasn't doing anything.
I know.
It was straight up
so frustrating.
But it's processing.
It's really frustrating.
It's processing things in my head, right?
Yeah.
So I'm. You know, master of the universe trying to coordinate the spin of the planets.
Does that make me She-Ra? Master of the universe?
And She-Ra. That's an old school reference, babe.
I know, but you just He-Man'd it. So I think that makes me She-Ra.
But yeah, I mean, take that into consideration sometimes. That, you know, even if I'm just standing there doing dishes, I may be completely zoned out in my head thinking about whatever it is that I'm thinking about and needing to compartmentalize and take care of and square away. And fucking how many times am I just lost running through lists and shit in my head? And that's my bad. I don't like being in that state. I think I definitely can do a better job of being more present and mindful and, you know, here as opposed to lost in my head spinning around.
Well, I never zone out, so I don't know how to relate. That never happens. I never get lost in thought. Never. So I don't know how to relate to you with that one.
Yeah.
It's not a factor in my life. It is, babe. It's so funny that it's so powering that you can like hear. It's almost like a trance. You can hear that things are going on, but you can't really, and it does. It takes that little bit. And sometimes, so yeah, that's something we both do. That's something else we can have.
Awareness.
So is this what it's going to be when we talk? Is it just going to be like a, hey, this is what you need to do better. And this is what I need to do better. And
no, I don't think this is what it's going to be when we talk. When like we sit down and do episodes of the podcast, it's not going to be our opportunity to.
I don't know. I kind of like it.
It's not bad. It's good.
No, it is.
I think, like you said, maybe somebody will listen and resonate and connect. And like with any episode of the podcast, it's always just been, hopefully somebody hears one little thing that they'll think about afterwards when they have a moment and they have that recognition or that synchronistic thing that takes place And I think, oh yeah, I remember hearing that and I'm going to try this or try that or whatever the case may be. So yeah. Maybe there was something like that during this episode where they'll snag it and be like, oh yeah,
I'm going to talk
to my wife about how she nags me and it's not.
Yeah. Don't approach it like that. Do not approach it like that. It's not going to end well for you. Maybe a nonchalant, like forward the link.
There you go.
Just be like, hey, this is a really, I liked this. You should listen to this one. Maybe, I don't know. Or like, call him right out. Don't use the word nag.
Or hag.
Or hag. Oh, God.
Or no. Bitch.
Okay, again, none of that is going to bitching. Go well for you.
Bitching can be misinterpreted plenty of ways.
Yeah. Neither is a controlling or asshole or, yeah.
Yeah. I like your idea, too, that by all means, if you let us know if this,
that
would be cool, huh?
I think there's so many. So I really do hope that we get responses on that and people say, yes, exactly this. I'm this role. I'm that. However, this has been trying to figure out a way to articulate this or move through this. Cause I think so many people are gonna, like I said, spot on. I could see me listening to this podcast cause I listen to a lot of podcasts and I could see like, this would be one that I would probably pull over and be sitting on the side of the road and just be like, oh my gosh, yes. And just having this whole conversation with them on it, just feeling that, that resonates so deeply. So I hope they let us know because I think it's going to be pretty big.
Maybe that's what we'll do in the future is just have these episodes where you and I sit down, but then we bring up some dynamic of our relationship that we struggle in and that we are working on or have worked on. And we have the, cause there's a lot of stuff that we've worked on.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that we've improved upon and made, you know, leaps and bounds in regards to communication and acceptance and understanding with one another. And maybe that's what we can do is, and then that helps who the fuck ever is tuning in and listening.
I'm down.
In some way, shape or form. That might be cool.
I think I would. Yeah. That would be really neat.
I'll have to kick that around and see. So before we go.
So let me rephrase that. I would really like to do that. That's something I would really enjoy. That would be something I would enjoy doing.
Okay. I hear you.
Awesome. Clearly. See, look at how this goes.
And I believe that you want to do that, not to make me happy. Or to not only make me happy, but not to make me upset. I believe that that's just strictly something that you want to do.
See, look at
us. Which is way cool.
Yes.
That makes me happy.
Me too.
But I don't think we're going to do that. We're going to do something else. maybe we'll talk about what we had for dinner.
Your equipment and just do it myself.
Let's talk about our favorite recipes.
That you don't really like.
Yeah. I don't really follow recipes.
That sounds good, but no, I don't want that.
Yeah. So before we go, do you have any questions?
Do I have any questions?
Yeah. Any questions for me?
Oh,
questions in general.
Is my perception of the way you feel, am I anywhere close to it? Do you feel like the way, I don't know if I should preface it this way. I see you as carrying less of a burden. There's still a lot of stress. I don't think that you're carefree, running through with it, your hair flying behind you by any means. I know there's still a lot of stressors in life. I know that there's a lot that we have to deal with, but are you feeling less burdened by things? Are you feeling more comfortable in yourself and who you are? Are you feeling those things from your journeys?
Yes.
See, this is one of those moments where it's really hard to trust that answer. And that's something we have to work on because it took you so long to answer.
Because I wanted to give it my honest, look at, right?
Yeah.
I want to examine that question and see if it is really applicable in my life in the sense of, do I feel less stressed and burdened in general speaking,
yeah.
Right? Because like you said, we got shit that we fucking stress about.
Mm-hmm.
But I think so. I think I definitely do. And you also said at one point, do I feel more at peace with like who I am?
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely do. Like I feel like I feel less stressed about, I guess because the stress that I feel is really everyday life stress that exists because of the shit that we just have to do. And we don't have to do it, but it's the shit that we are choosing to do at the time, right? That stuff is what stresses me out. But when it comes to like my own internal relationship with who I am and our relationship and our family and bigger, more important things that really that carry a lot of weight, I'm not super stressed about those like I used to be in a sense. And I have less in regards to those. And I think some of it, it's not like it all magically changed. It's because at the end of the day, it's my perception and my ability to move through those things and feel those things, right? So it's not like they have magically disappeared or altered or shifted or changed. But a lot of them I have been able to let go of so that I don't carry them around as stresses. And then also the way that I look at my life and my relationships and my processing and coping and what's okay for me to feel and okay for me to, I guess, feel is a very big thing. Like, it's okay for me to feel X, Y, or Z. Do you know what I mean? It's okay for me to process and feel those things. And even when they're difficult and challenging and hard, it's okay. And so, yeah, I definitely feel like I have less stress and carry less of a weight upon my shoulders at times. But it does take practice and it does take conscious awareness and kind of a commitment to it. And there's been times since I went on that expedition where I haven't done a good job at that. And I have to remind myself, and something will happen where I'll have kind of a moment of clarity or remembrance, where I'm like, oh God, like I can do this a better way or even a different way. Because I hate that idea too, that this is a better way. Like, this isn't the fucking best way for everybody. This isn't even the best way for me. This is just what I resonate and connect with and what is working for me right now in the moment. And it's good stuff. And it works for a lot of people. It's good stuff. But so, yeah. So, yes. Yes. Yes is the answer to your question.
Thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate it. I hope everybody enjoyed it. Like, if you did enjoy this episode, if you'd like to hear more of Craig and Steph sitting down and offering advice when it comes to relationships, because, yeah, apparently we're...
I don't think it's advice. It's just sharing experiences.
There you go.
It's like the teenage resonating with the music. Yes, no, let's me get, too.
Let's I get didn't have answers from people, like questions. I like, love that. Send us your relationship questions and we'll answer them on the podcast. Don't fucking do that. I don't want to answer your relationship questions because the answer is always, you're not going to like the answer I have for you. But if you enjoyed this episode,
though, yeah,
we'd love to hear from you as always. And the best way to reach us is our phone number is
43. No, no, no.
No. Contact us through the website. Go to energyislovepodcast.com and click on the contact link tab. It's a tab. It's not a link. But thank you. Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Let's go drink some more coffee.
Yes.
And everybody go out and have a beautiful, wonderful day. 2018 is an 11.
It is an 11.
It's an 11 year.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay. See, it's going to be great. It's not up to you to solve the world's problems.
Is my aura blinding
you? It's so shiny. It really is. Figuring out who you are and being okay with who you are and not just the way you think or feel or move.
At the end of the day, it's an individual person's choice on whether or not they're going to choose to be happy.